Welcome to Intelligent Medicine, America's foremost program on health, medicine, and nutrition, featuring the latest on both conventional and alternative therapies. Now, here's Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. We had lots to talk about this weekend, as we usually do. We got lots of stories to share with you, culled from the medical journals and from the news reports on the health front. We've got stuff about vitamins, supplements, diet, lifestyle, also high-tech medical advances. We put those all together for you each weekend, and we call it Intelligent Medicine. Yeah, that's the name of the program, Intelligent Medicine. 877-726-8255 is our number, and you can start dialing. You can call us this hour or next, and you are an essential part of this program. We want you to participate by calling 877-726-8255. Talk. We'll make it even easier for you. 877-726-TALK is our number. And among the stories that we're going to tackle, we're going to talk about the effect of exercise at night. Does it really disturb sleep? And the brain benefits of curcumin, according to the latest study. Also, omega-3 fatty acids versus premature birth. These are among the stories that we're going to tackle on today's program. 877-726-TALK is our number. But first, a little history lesson. It's December 2018, and we just got finished commemorating the centennial of the end of World War I. 100 years ago, at this time, as they prepared for Christmas 1918, the killing was over on the Western Front. The devastating toll on the young men, especially of Europe, was in the tens of millions. But the dying wasn't over, because a very strange phenomenon that is little remembered today took place, and it was ramping up right around this time, 100 years ago. It was the Spanish flu, or the influenza pandemic, that swept the world in the wake of World War I. And the death toll actually exceeded the death toll in combat. It's now estimated that anywhere from 50 million to 100 million people globally died due to the killer flu. In the United States alone, the virus ultimately killed 670,000 Americans. If you extrapolated that to the current population of the United States, which is 330 million, that would be around 2.15 million deaths today. Bodies were stacked three deep in hospitals, quarters, and they didn't have enough room in cemeteries, so the corpses piled up. There were mass graves, and it was a devastating calamity to compound the misery of the aftermath of World War I. And there's an article in the New England Journal of Medicine this week that summarizes those events, and also is a cautionary tale for today, because what they say is that we are ill-prepared to deal with a potential flu pandemic on the scale of the 1918 Spanish flu. They look at the science behind this, and they say it was just an unusual reassortment of the components of viruses that normally circulate every year. The flu virus is kind of like a roulette wheel in terms of how the virus assembles. In some years, it's particularly dangerous and pathogenic. Some years, there's a match to the vaccine, usually not a very good one. The rate of protection from the vaccine ranges at best from about 40% to, at worst, in some cases, in the low teens. So it's our best prediction ahead of the appearance of the virus annually about what we're going to be up against. But what was unusual about the 1918 flu is that it exploded in the lungs of individuals who were affected. And it did so unpredictably because, well, mostly when you think about the flu and the potential for it to kill people, it usually kills the vulnerable, the feeble, the elderly, the folks who are immunosuppressed, pregnant women, young children and infants. But in the case of the 1918 flu, it was kind of unique because at least half of the victims were ostensibly healthy individuals from the ages 20 to 40. Very, very unusual pattern of disease. And what they say here is that these gene recombinations that create deadly flu pandemics, they say that just the law of chance, some will inevitably appear in future pandemic viruses. And we now have antibiotics, and it's commonly thought that, well, now that we have antibiotics, the flu pandemic of 1918 could not happen. But the problem is that the onset of the devastating lung infections that killed most of the people in 1918, 1920, these occurred so rapidly that it's very hard to predict who should be getting antibiotics. You know, you feel a little under the weather and you think maybe I'll just take some flu medication, maybe something over the counter, and pretty soon you can't breathe, and by then it's too late. So what they're saying here in this New England Journal of Medicine article is that there's a very narrow window for beginning life-saving treatment. And while most people, even if they get a deadly flu like that, they won't succumb to it, it's going to be extremely hard to predict who will need hospitalization and intensive treatment. And, oh, by the way, it seems pretty unlikely that there are going to be enough ventilators, antibiotics, antivirals, and other supplies necessary to prevent mass deaths from a 1918-like pandemic should that occur in 2018 or in future years, because it's going to be an enormous burden on the healthcare system, medically managing the care for millions of people with severe illnesses. That would be an extraordinary challenge that we're not ready to meet. The question is, who do you treat? Who do you prioritize? How do you know whether someone needs intensive treatment or whether they can simply go home and rest, take fluids and maybe some Tylenol? So they're saying we need some kind of universal flu vaccine that can broadly protect against any influenza A virus, but that is far off. And even in our efforts to treat the normal flu, we seem to be foundering from year to year. The statistics vary. A recent survey shows that 40% of Americans don't want to take the flu vaccine. Why? Well, some of them think that it's going to make them get the flu. That's probably erroneous. Other people are afraid of the side effects. Well, the side effects are usually minor. Some are afraid of the contents of the flu vaccine. But the vast majority of people who refuse to take the flu vaccine say it won't help. And that's a well-founded belief. So we're very far off from meeting the potential challenge of a flu pandemic that could be coming our way at any time, comparable to the devastating 1918 flu pandemic that killed 50 to 100 million people worldwide. It's a very real prospect, and health authorities are worried about it, and they should be. And more research should be undertaken to see if there are nutritional factors involved. Could it be that deficiencies of critical nutrients, vitamin A, zinc, vitamin D, for example, omega-3 fatty acids, any of these might influence risk? I can't tell that there's any research underway to identify these strategies. All the money is in finding a vaccine, which until now has proven pretty elusive. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. 877-726-8255 is our number. And you can call us with your questions about Intelligent Medicine.
Hi, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman. As a listener to Intelligent Medicine, you know that fish oil provides the vital omega-3s, EPA and DHA, that support your cardiovascular, brain, nerve, vision, immune system, joint, and skin health. My preferred fish oil brand is Carlson. Carlson ensures maximum freshness by managing their fish oils from sea to store. They source only the highest quality deep cold water fish using traditional sustainable methods. All Carlson fish oils are tested by an FDA-registered laboratory for freshness, potency, and purity. I use Carlson myself, recommend it to my patients, and I've included Carlson in the Intelligent Medicine Protocol Starter Kit, available on my website, drhoffman.com. Carlson award-winning omega-3 nutritional supplements are available in soft gels and liquid form for those who have trouble swallowing pills. For more information, go to www.carlsonlabs.com. Carlson fish oils are available at fine health food stores nationwide.
America, we've got your back for immune health this season. It seems that everyone you know has a cold or the flu. Many health professionals agree that probiotics are the number one natural therapy for boosting immune health at this time of the year. Why are probiotics so good? Because 70% of your body's immune cells reside in the GI tract. By taking a superior probiotic daily like Dr. O'Hara's probiotics, you can enhance your overall immune system. Since its origin over 30 years ago, Dr. O'Hara's probiotics has prided itself on purity in creating this certified vegetarian probiotic supplement, free of gluten, allergens, and GMOs. Natural healthy fruits and vegetables are fermented for 3 years with 12 probiotic strains to create Dr. O'Hara's trademark postbiotic metabolite blend. Discover the Dr. O'Hara difference for yourself this cold and flu season. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available online as well as Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and natural health retailers everywhere. Get them today.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman with you. And our number is 877-726-8255. Taking advantage of a free visit into the doctor's office is Rita from New Jersey. How you doing?
Fortunately, you have a husband, Stephen.
Oh, okay.
Rita was a patient of yours a few times for different problems. She just recently.
So, are you her spokesperson?
Excuse me?
Are you her spokesperson?
Well, yes. She got a little shy as she was waiting.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll take the call from you. That's fine. You'll rep her, I'm sure, admirably well.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. She's had a gout attack the other day. Her numbers are usually around 7. She's 120 pounds.
That's a uric acid, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's 120 pounds, 5 foot. She doesn't eat any meat. She eats very well. She does everything the right way, according to whatever the websites say about gout.
But
she was incapacitated. The doctor put her on colchicine and a steroid. And she's now better after about 3 or 4 days of being on the medication. But she would like to know, number one, what would be the better medication for maintenance other than allopurinol, if that's the only one that you would recommend, which is what the doctor recommended.
Yeah, I like allopurinol, and they've actually supplanted allopurinol with a newer, more expensive medication, as they usually do. You know, when a medication goes off patent and it's a traditional medication, they're always looking to find something, and I put this in quotation marks, Dr. Evil quotation marks, a better medication, and they did that. But the new medication has come under a little bit of a cloud because of potential side effects. So allopurinol is the medication that I use very, very occasionally for those of my patients who don't respond completely to diet and supplements. But uric acid of 7 is relatively low. Had she been on medication before, or is this the first time?
First time.
Okay. So you say she's not having any red meat, which is kind of like starting point for most gout diets. But what else is she eating? What's a typical breakfast, lunch, and dinner?
She has a smoothie, which is made up of vegetables and orange juice. And
well, there's the problem right there. Boom. You know, I already spotted the problem. One of the problems with gout is, well, first of all, the dietary recommendations for gout stipulate that you should stay away from purines, which are in meat. They're also in certain beans, certain vegetables. Fish, too, has a fairly high amount of purines. But the problem that drives gout in some cases is excess fructose. And when you use juice, you're boosting your fructose intake. And no, there are no purines in orange juice. It's from fruit source. It's no animal, not an animal product. But it still drives the synthesis of uric acid. So she really needs to look also at curbing her unnecessary carb intake, and that'll bring her uric acid down. So there are actually some pretty good articles at drhoffman.com about the gout diet. But if you need help, you know, see a professional nutritionist who is up to snuff on this. And be aware that carbohydrates can drive it. Now, another thing you can do is you can take tart cherry juice, but without added sugar. You don't want the added sugar or fructose because that'll push the metabolism towards uric acid synthesis. And so those are some of the things you can do. Also, vitamin C is beneficial in gout. So those are strategies that you can utilize. If necessary, you know, take the allopurinol for a while, but see if you can get off and watch that uric acid, because it seems that at a threshold that's kind of low, at 7 or so, she's starting to get gouty attacks. It's not clearly why, because some people have uric acid routinely 7-8 and they don't have gouty attacks. But for her, her threshold for getting them is kind of low for some reason. All right. Let me announce this. This is our good sponsor, CV Sciences. CV Sciences has received a Nutritional Outlook 2018 Best of the Industry Award for their hemp-derived phytocannabinoids, including CBD oil. You can find them at pluscbdoil.com. And they've been recognized for their leadership role in providing transparency and excellence in providing a full spectrum of naturally occurring phytocannabinoids, including CBD, terpenes, plant sterols, etc. Those are the constituents of good hemp-derived products. And oh, by the way, there's some good news on the hemp front. The Farm Bill got passed that removes restrictions on hemp cultivation in the United States because of hemp's association with marijuana. It was thought that it was something illicit. The new Farm Bill should open the door towards better quality and more widely available hemp oil products. So check out pluscbdoil.com. It's the CBD that I recommend. And a little more on CBD later in the program. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Our number 877-726-8255, and we'll be right back with more of Intelligent Medicine.
Be proactive. Sure, you take your daily vitamins, but do you replenish the glutathione levels in your body as part of your long-term health strategy? Glutathione is our body's primary antioxidant. It is unique in its ability to repair and rebuild cellular damage caused by free radicals, exposure to environmental toxins, and the aging process. As we age, our levels decrease, making it important to continually boost our glutathione levels. Why is RegActive so groundbreaking and so important? Backed by over 20 years of published research, RegActive products contain ME3, a patented probiotic delivery system which carries glutathione past our stomach acids and into our bodies, stimulating our own body's production of glutathione. It's a paradigm-changing approach to health and anti-aging wellness. Join our family today. Our RegActive family of glutathione-producing supplements, liver and detox, cardio wellness, and immune and vitality. Be proactive. Choose RegActive. Available online and coming to fine natural products retailers nationwide.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman with you, and a very happy holiday season to you as we busily prepare for Christmas and New Year's. And part of that busy preparation is going to parties. And it's a real slog because party after party and all the food temptations and the drink. And I got a special request from our producer at Radio America, Al, who is laboring under the aftermath of last night's Christmas party at Radio America. And I'm sorry I didn't make it, but the drive from New York to Arlington, Virginia would have been a little daunting. So I took a rain check on that, but sounds like a pretty rollicking affair. And the question is about hangover tips. So here's some hangover tips. First of all, pace yourself when drinking. For every alcoholic beverage you have, drink some seltzer. And hydrate well, because it's going to make a difference in terms of the way you metabolize the alcohol. And it is true. You know, urban legend, drink vodka instead of dark or colored beverages, red wine, bourbon, whiskey, vermouth, etc. It is not just an urban legend. It's actually true. Dark colored beverages, as opposed to clear, highly distilled beverages, are full of what are called congeners. And it is thought that congeners are responsible for at least some of the debilitating effects of the aftermath of drinking. In fact, there was one study, interesting study. They gave equal amounts of vodka and bourbon to experimental subjects. And they found that 33% of the bourbon subjects experienced a hangover the next morning, whereas only 3% of the vodka drinkers, equal amounts of alcohol, experienced a hangover. So think clear distilled beverages, preferably somewhat diluted. A vodka and soda is clearly preferable to straight shots. Also, don't use things like Red Bull and Monster. Those are energy drinks that kids like to use to extend their ability, they think, to handle the alcohol, because the caffeine offsets the sedating knockout effects of the alcohol. So they think they're more together, but actually they're simply able to poison themselves with higher and higher amounts of ethanol, which is ultimately toxic and dangerous in high amounts. But let's say you ignored this advice and you're suffering from a hangover. Here's some tips. Hydrate the morning after. Make sure you drink a lot of water. And better yet, make some vegetable juice, because the nutrients in the vegetable juice, the electrolytes, will actually help you. Use magnesium, because tying one on with alcohol depletes magnesium, and that's going to make you feel lousy. Support your liver function with N-acetylcysteine, or NAC. And parenthetically, if you take Tylenol for your headache, that's going to deplete your glutathione in your liver. So that is absolutely the wrong strategy for dealing with a hangover. Also avoid Motrin and aspirin, because they're erosive on your stomach lining, which has already been punished by the previous alcohol exposure. You can really develop a serious bleeding ulcer if you drink a lot and then take some Advil or Motrin. Or aspirin. That's a devastating combination, even though it might seem to make your headache better. Consider Silymarin, milk thistle, to support liver function. Vitamin C. In fact, there are hangover buses that you can charter for a wedding or an affair. They're popular in Las Vegas, where they administer IV vitamin C, sometimes with glutathione, in the aftermath of partying, to revive the participants, presumably so they can continue to party on. I'm not that crazy about that strategy, because prevention is the best way to deal with hangovers. Also consider sweating it out. Take a sauna, but make sure that you bring in a bottle of water, preferably with some electrolytes in it, so that you sweat out the toxins. That's a way that we can help alleviate your hangover misery this holiday season. And Al, just put an ice bag on your head and lie down, okay? I mean, you're not doing anything anyway. You're just running an entire studio over the weekend. So just lie down. Just lie down and relax. We got things under control. All right, this item, just talking about the award that was given to CV Sciences for excellence in phytocannabinoids and hemp products. This article has to do with CBD for IBD, inflammatory bowel disease, which comprises ulcerative colitis and Crohn's disease. It's a review that highlights the importance of CBD as a promising drug for the therapy of inflammatory bowel diseases. And this is actually something I've seen in quite a few of my patients. Patients who have GI discomfort, cramps, pain, experience relief when they take oral CBD, and without the stoner effects of pot. Incidentally, when it comes to medical marijuana, many states have restrictions on who can get medical marijuana. You have to have a bona fide medical condition. You can't just say, well, you know, I don't feel good, or, you know, I just want to take it. You have to have a certain medical condition, and among the medical conditions, things like multiple sclerosis, cancer, but also ulcerative colitis and Crohn's disease for medical marijuana. So there may be some add-on effects of the THC, but CBD alone, which is, you know, available, and you can get a really high-quality CBD at pluscbdoil.com, has been shown, according to the study, it's a very promising compound. Since it shares the typical cannabinoid beneficial effects on the gut, lacking any psychotropic effects. In other words, you won't be stoned, you won't have any problems driving, you won't be impaired if you have to do a presentation at the office, teach, or even do a radio program. So they say that not only does it relieve pain, but it also has an anti-inflammatory effect. And the anti-inflammatory effects may be due in part to the CBD, but also there are these additional compounds that you find in hemp oil, such as terpenes. The terpenes themselves may have anti-inflammatory effects, thus reducing the redness, ulceration, and inflammation of the gut. So very interesting evidence about the efficacy. All right, here's a cheery article about your risk for heart attack during this holiday season. Headline, your risk of heart attack is greatest at this specific time on Christmas Eve, study says. It's based on a new study published in the British Medical Journal, which found that a person's risk of heart attack spikes during most holidays and peaks at around 10 p.m. on Christmas Eve. Now, I have an interesting observation for you, is that during my medical training, we had to be on duty continuously, but obviously you had a dispensation for holidays, but the hospital had to be manned 24/7. And on religious holidays, like Christmas and Easter, we who were Jewish medical trainees, we said, fine, we'll be on deck. You guys can go home, celebrate Christmas with your families, and we're okay with it. Christmas Eve, okay, yeah, it's, you know, we have Hanukkah, we've been there, done that. So you can have your Christmas Eve, and we'll man the post on Christmas Eve. And we anticipated that Christmas Eve would be very quiet, laid back, relaxed. We'd get some sleep. But, oh, no, think again, because Christmas Eve was a time of major, major medical havoc. And the researchers analyzed a massive trove of data in the study, the details of more than 280,000 heart attacks in Sweden over 16 years. And they found that, and this is a truism, heart attacks most often occur on Mondays, right? You know, you get back after the weekend and you don't have enough sleep and you're stressed out. So Mondays is also not a great day to be in the emergency room if you're a doctor. There was a higher risk on New Year's Day and the midsummer holidays, but the greatest risk by far was on Christmas Eve, where the chances of having a heart attack shot up by 37%, and the risk was especially great for those with diabetes or history of heart disease. What causes that big jump? Well, they suspect that Christmas Eve and other holidays are times when people experience emotional stress. And, you know, yeah, it's nice to be with family, but sometimes it's stressful being with family, and sometimes it's stressful also when you realize how much you dinged your credit card for almost all those Christmas gifts. And then there's excessive food intake, alcohol, long-distance traveling. You know, for some, Christmas is a time where they experience anger, anxiety, sadness, grief, and thus hiking their risk of heart attacks. And throw in a little excessive eating and drinking, and kaboom, you got the perfect storm. So beware of Christmas Eve. And if you're a doctor and you're on duty and you think you're going to have a light night on Christmas Eve, think again. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, 877-726-8255 for Intelligent Medicine.
Ladies and gentlemen, listen up. It's me, your immune system. I'm always hard at work defending you against the many disease-causing viruses and bacteria that you are exposed to every day. But sometimes I need help to defeat the bad bugs. Luckily, our friends at Kyolic have come to the rescue. Kyolic has two super immune-enhancing supplements, Kyolic Immune Formula 103 and Kyo Green Harvest Blend Immune Defense. Kyo Green Harvest Blend is a power-packed blend of organic and naturally sourced grasses, ancient grains, fruits, veggies, herbal extracts, and spirulina in a fast-dissolving drink mix for a quick and easy way to support immunity. Kyolic Immune Formula 103 combines immune-boosting nutrients with aged garlic extract. Aged garlic extract has been clinically shown to support a healthy immune response and reduce both the duration and severity of cold and flu symptoms. Help me protect you with Kyolic supplements and nutritional drink mixes to fortify your immune health today. Available at fine natural health retailers.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman here. Our number is 877-726-8255. And there are several ways to get questions to us. You can email your question to radioprogram@AOL.com, and then you can listen to our answer during our weekly Q&A with Layla podcast. That's available through your usual podcast services, and you can find it at drhoffman.com. Also, if you go to our homepage at drhoffman.com, using your PC or Mac, on the homepage, there's a little rectangle on the right side. And when you click on that rectangle, it'll prompt you to pose a question, as did Erwin. Let's hear from Erwin.
I live in Israel, and I recently attended a lecture on the benefits of camel milk. And I was told that camel milk has many, many, many good bacteria, and that it's a much better product than cow milk. According to the lecturer, unpasteurized camel milk can be used to cure Crohn's disease, autism, and a number of other ailments because the good bacteria work on the immune system and keep the individual protected. What is your take on the benefits of camel milk?
Okay, well, you know, it's a good thing you're in Israel because I presume there are more camels in Israel than there are, say, in Chicago. So probably camel milk is more ubiquitous and cheaper in the Middle East than it is over here. It's being promoted here, but it can be kind of pricey. Camel milk has some benefits, but also potentially some downsides. It's being highly promoted. You know, as you said, there's some fantastic claims. It's good for diabetes. It reduces autoimmune disease. It may help reduce the risk of autism. None of these claims have been really well substantiated. I looked it up a little bit. I did some homework on your question. I saw a very small study from a Middle Eastern country about the benefits of camel milk for diabetes. You know, you got to be wary of studies from, say, Japan that talk about the benefits of soy, or from France to talk about the benefits of red wine, from Switzerland to talk about the benefits of dark chocolate. There's sometimes a little bit of a, shall we say, a patriotic impetus behind these studies. And so one of the major differences with camel milk is that it has something called alpha-2 beta-casein, as opposed to alpha-1 beta-casein as one of the major proteins. And there's some claims about that, and that may be where the autoimmune, autism, diabetes connection comes from, is that it has been claimed that alpha-2 milk is superior to alpha-1 milk. And there's actually cow's milk that's being promoted because certain dairy cows have alpha-2 as opposed to alpha-1. You know, the 99% of the milk in America is alpha-1 beta-casein. But the alpha-2 milk made claims that somehow that's healthier, less likely to cause autoimmunity, and so on and so on. And, of course, there may be an autoimmune component to autism, and hence the claim. However, and it's also claimed that there's less potential for allergy. and there may be less potential for allergy, but still some of the people who are allergic to casein are going to be allergic to both forms of casein. So that claim is a little bit dubious. Nutrient profile of camel's milk is more similar to human milk. It's actually got less in the way of fat than full-fat cow's milk. So it's sort of like 2% milk, and maybe hence a little less in the way of fat. There's a little less in the way of protein as well as opposed to cow's milk. So that may be kind of a one of the downsides because it's less protein. When it comes to this thing about the bacteria, here we're talking about unpasteurized camel milk. And there may be some benefits to live bacteria from unpasteurized sources. But, you know, Israel's a modern country, and I'm pretty sure they're concerned about the potential for unpasteurized milk of any kind to hold pathogens. And just because it's from a camel doesn't mean that it's better than from a cow. You know, there you can get brucellosis from cows. You can get MERS virus from camels. And it may be that pasteurization is a necessary step, killing off the potential bacteria in there, that could be harmful. So I see that as a potential downside. By the way, there's less lactose, not no lactose, in camel's milk. So people who have lactose intolerance, they're going to do better with camel's milk, but if they drink a lot of it, they're still going to have lactose intolerance symptoms. So I'm a little cautious about recommending. I mean, I think it's fine, you know, for the vast majority of people. I'm a little concerned about the lack of pasteurization. Maybe there's a really safe source, a way of vetting the herd so that the herds aren't diseased, so that the unpasteurized milk doesn't carry any bad bacteria or viruses. But I think the claims are overblown. All right. So much for that. Thanks for that question. Thanks for listening to us from all the way over there in Israel. This item, you know, a lot of people beg off of physical activity because they say, look, in the mornings are very hectic. There's no way in the morning that I can get to the gym. You know, they have long commutes. They have to start early at work or at school. And it's just not feasible to get up at, you know, 4:30 in the morning and hit the gym, come back, shower, shave, get ready, dressed, get in the car, commute for an hour, hour and a half, and then arrive at work on time. So they say, that leaves me with evenings. Yeah, okay, I get off work at 5 or 6, but then I don't want to start exercising then because that's going to interfere with my sleep. Well, they did a study on this. Headline, physical activity in the evening does not cause sleep problems. The scientists combed through the literature on the subject and analyzed 23 studies, concluded that doing exercise in the 4 hours before going to bed does not have a negative effect on sleep. So much for that excuse. However, I would say this, is that the study may not have revealed that, because on average, people don't have problems with that. But some people just have issues with getting too amped up at night. And maybe overall, exercising at night is a satisfactory way of getting in your exercise quotient. But for some people, that could be a problem. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. 877-726-8255 is our number. We got lots more coming up. Start dialing 877-726-TALK for Intelligent Medicine.
Hi, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman. As we age, forestalling and even reversing bone loss becomes more and more important. That's why I've created the Intelligent Medicine Bone Health Protocol. My personal supplement recommendations to ensure your skeletal health. Just go to drhoffmanstore.com. In addition to the Bone Health Protocol, you'll find easy-to-follow links from my supplement starter kit, Heart Health Protocol, and much more. As always, I strive to provide you with the tools you need to make informed choices beyond the cookie-cutter care of today's healthcare system. And these new protocols are an easy way for you to get the exact combination of targeted supplements you need to help you follow the intelligent medicine lifestyle. The same supplements I take myself and prescribe for my patients. And for a limited time, you'll get free shipping on all of your store orders. For more details, just go to drhoffmanstore.com. That's drhoffmanstore.com. drhoffmanstore.com.